following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, but we're taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it is a good morning.
I am your host, Jeff Paul. My good buddy, my best friend, Bernie Siplicki, sit with me. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Bernie.
Dave, pretty good job on the Sports Center. You missed a couple things. The show is called Sports Saturday, not Sports Center.
This is Sports Center.
Yeah, you did the Sports Center, but I know you're excited.
I am very excited.
There's some big news, so we'll give you a little pass this morning. But good morning. It's been a great week, an interesting night last night. And here we are this morning, Bern.
Yeah, here we are. Go ahead, Jeff. No, I know you don't.
Oh my God, you're such a baby.
Yes, I am. That's
such
okay.
A baby.
Go ahead. Get right into it. Go ahead. Don't
655.
Whatever stuff
yeah,
back.
It's called Snapware. Okay. And Monica's very appreciative of that. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or if you want to text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, you don't want to talk to us, you want to text us. Text us at the same number. It's 802-655-6672. Bernie's upset because there's been some breaking news coming out this morning, very early this morning.
Poor Bernie.
And it's kind of it seems to be picking up steam. And I've been trying to stay on Twitter as much as possible and as quickly as I can, just keep up without everything. But it looks like Giancarlo Stanton is going to go to the Yankees. It looks like Starlin Castro is going to be in that trade, but there's nothing official yet. Nobody's saying anything, but it looks like the deal is done. It creates a pretty interesting situation in New York, because now you're going to have if this all comes to fruition, you're going to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in the same lineup together. Interesting stat too, for a Red Sox fan like you to know. Last year, between Judge, Stanton, and Didi Gregorius, those three players together had 169 home runs. The Red Sox, as a team, had 168 home runs last season. Interesting stat there. I'm not trying to rub anything.
Who won the World Series?
Houston won the World
Series. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that pertains to what my quote was.
I don't care about home runs. I care about winning.
Yeah. Okay. So you're so salty.
You know, and this
is how I know it's going to be a great trade for the Yankees, because you are so angry this morning, and I love that you're angry.
This is Kevin McHale did it for the Celtics. Derek Jeter's doing it for the Yankees. It's great. I appreciate that loyalty.
So are you saying that there's some collusion? You're saying that you're going to put it out there right now publicly that you think there's some collusion happening between the former Yankee great Derek Jeter, who is now the principal owner of the
Miami. I think there's a lot of irony. No collusion, just a lot of very ironic. Ironic.
It's unbelievable you'd even think that. Really? I'm stunned that you think that. Go ahead, Dave.
We got Jim from Essex.
All right, Jim from Essex. Good morning, Jim. What's happening today, buddy?
Hey, morning, guys. My question is, if they end up with Stanton,
yep,
that's got them out of the running next year for Harper, doesn't it?
It very well looks like it could be, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. It looks like it probably is going to be the it for Harper, but you never know. I mean, you don't know how it's going to play out.
They weren't even involved in this conversation. So how can you rule out Harper?
Well,
you just never know with this organization, because they have the resources, the talent, and the ability to do that. So I wouldn't put it past them if they didn't get Harper either.
Well, I think when it comes down to the Harper situation, I mean, we're not talking next year. We're talking a couple years. I think it's going to get another year after this one before he's a free agent. But, and I may be wrong on that. So if I am, you can text us or call me and tell me I'm wrong. But whenever he's a free agent.
Oh, you're wrong.
I probably am.
You're always wrong.
I usually am.
Okay.
But in any situation, you never know, because Judge and Carl and Stanton could be prime DH players too. So if it turns out where the Yankees are in need and those players are declining with, in terms of health, or they can't have a hard time keeping them healthy, and Stanton at times has had a problem staying healthy, and we don't know about Judge yet. You know, we know Judge had a shoulder injury that's going into this end of this season. He had some surgery on, so you never know. But I will say that if they're both healthy, I would have to say they probably are out. But here's the thing, and you had brought up the collusion thing.
I didn't bring up a collusion thing.
Yes, you did. You just a second ago.
I said it was irony. And I said,
then what are you pertaining? Then what is your point?
I'm saying that I think it's phenomenal that Derek Jeter is comfortable enough to make a trade with the Yankees. And sure. I said that this was just like Kevin McHale and Danny Ainge with the trade for Kevin Garnett. It's just, you know, everybody wins.
Okay, but here's my point about this. You might be right, but the Yankees were out of this until, you know, but Giancarlo Stanton has a no trade clause. There were two deals that were set up with San Francisco and St. Louis that Giancarlo Stanton did not want to go to those two organizations, so he vetoed that. Yeah. There were four teams. I think the teams were New York. I know the Cubs were one. I think the Dodgers were one. I think there was one other team that he said he'd go to. What's interesting about this deal in particular, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the numbers are, is there's a great article by George King out in the New York Post this morning that basically said, look, with what the Yankees are going to want to do and what it looks like they're going to try to do here is they're probably going to try to – and it looks like Castro is a part of this deal. Starlin Castro and maybe Chase Headley, which will take all of their salary to Miami. Miami to eat some of this contract, so the Yankees will still be exactly where they are before Giancarlo Stanton with the cap. So they're still in the position.
And Jeter wants to get rid of all this money, but yet he's going to eat.
He's going to eat some of it, and it's about the contract. The Miami Marlins are really hamstrung by this, so it's not as – I mean, and they're kind of panicking because – you know, this might be the best time to trade Giancarlo Stanton. You just, you know, so I don't think there's any collusion here. I just think that the Yankees are in the perfect position and the perfect storm happened for this to happen.
I'm glad you feel comfortable with that, with the backup of facts, and it's a great trade for the Yankees.
Well, we'll see if it comes to fruition.
The Giants. We thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. You don't want a championship on paper, so let's see what happens.
Well, see, only you were saying championship. That's a problem.
Well, that's what the Yankees strive for every year.
Well, of course, but you're saying, I mean, the Yankees still have holes in this roster, and there's question marks in the rotation. They have arguably the best bullpen in baseball, and right now on paper, this lineup could be very filthy. Okay, but when you look, you know, the teams, you still need the pitch to win, and I will caution this to Yankee fans, and we all know that I'm a big Yankee fan. I remember the Yankees.
Is that why we're just starting right away with the?
You know, this
Yankee
is the thing about Bernie. This is the thing about you.
Now we have
serious breaking news that has come out this morning as we are driving in this morning. There's all this news, and normally you and I like to talk about our week, what's happened throughout our week, and there's still plenty of time in the show to do that. I mean, I still haven't gotten over the great guests we have coming on the show.
Why don't you do that quickly?
And I also haven't even mentioned our new sponsor, the Archives. The Barcade downtown Burlington. Have you been over there yet?
I haven't, but it sounds pretty cool.
It's an awesome place. My buddy Matt
they
is the owner.
They got Donkey Kong?
They have Donkey Kong.
Oh, man.
They have NBA Live.
No.
NBA Jams. NBA Jams. Remember that?
The old NBA Jams?
Yeah, remember you have like the two players? Yeah. You pick two players? That thing's awesome. But anyway, check them out. They are downtown Burlington on College Street. It's an amazing place, and they are now a sponsor of our show. We want to thank them. But yeah, we'll get to the guests in a second because we do have some amazing guests. But yes, David.
Want to switch the subject?
Would you like to switch?
Heisman Trophy, Jim Rutland.
Oh, Jim from Rutland. All right, we'll talk Heisman Trophy. Sure, we can do anything. That's what we do. That's what we do. We audible. What's going on this morning, Jim?
Just like this first segment.
That's right.
Hey,
Jim,
are you there, Jim?
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, it's Chris, not Jim.
Oh, Chris. All right.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris.
Way to go, Dave.
Chris from Rutland.
Sorry, Chris. What's happening?
Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Looks like Baker Mayfield is the odds-on favorite. However, Lamar Jackson's numbers are better than his numbers were last year.
Yep.
So I just want you guys to give me your thoughts on that. And the second piece is Baker Mayfield potentially another Tim Tebow? I'm going to hang up and listen. Love the show. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think the difference between Lamar – the player from Louisville, what's his name?
Lamar Jackson
and Baker Mayfield is that Lamar Jackson's teams aren't winning. I think that has a lot to do with Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield's makeup and what he brings and what his team is in a position to win a national championship, I think that plays into this situation, Bernie, in my opinion. What's your style?
I agree. I think that the attention that Baker Mayfield has brought to himself with his brashness has elevated his Heisman Trophy candidacy because of how good he has been and how good his team has been. I do agree with Lamar Jackson. You know, his numbers are better than last year, and he won. So why wouldn't he win it again?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. And to me, I would pick Jackson over Mayfield because I don't like the way I don't like Mayfield's character very much with what he's done this season. He's done a lot of things that are kind of questionable.
But to the victors go the spoils.
No question. And I think for his football team is in a position. And I got to tell you, not to change subject here, but you got to like Oklahoma. Wouldn't you rather be Oklahoma today than Clemson?
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, so Clemson looks like they're the number one seed going in. And they when the things come out last week, the pairings come out, they got to play Alabama.
Who's getting healthy?
I mean, look out. I mean, so Oklahoma looks like they're going to be in the national championship game.
So back to the caller's question. Who's your vote for?
Who would I vote for? That's a good question. I think I'd vote for Jackson. I like the way he's a great player. But who do I think? But the next question was, does he think he's going to be the next Tim Tebow?
That's Mayfield.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't. I think he's got a better arm. And I think he's more of a traditional pocket passer. So I don't think he'll have a. I don't know if he'll have a great career.
How do you know? I mean, to me, he looks like he's got the same skill set that Manziel had. I mean, when I see the way Mayfield plays, it reminds me of Manziel. Now, I mean,
does his fierce competitiveness remind you of Phillip Rivers? And his go and go get him.
I don't know Phillip Rivers more than Eli Manning. Oh, here we go. You know, you always got to bring it. It's all full circle for you.
Did I say that again?
It's just full circle That's for you. You just got to keep it back to Eli Manning. Yeah. To me, when I look at Mayfield, I see the same skill set in college that Manziel had. That's why I think I'd be nervous about drafting him. But yeah, I mean, it's a great question by Chris. I personally would pick Jackson. He's got better numbers. He's done it, and he plays in the ACC, very very good conference. He's done it against good football teams. But I personally would see. I mean, I think Mayfield's going to win.
Yeah, I agree, and I would vote for Mayfield because I think to the winning team the prize
goes to sport. And he's winning, right. And listen, when you play in that conference and you've won the games that they've won, I mean, they're a great football team. So.
But let's get back to. To your friend, Mr. Stanton. Please.
Yeah, I got a highlight for you.
We don't need a highlight.
No?
You got 59 of them? Because that's how many home runs he hit.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
59 of them.
Well, listen, you can get upset over it, but I mean, it's pretty amazing move by the Yankees. If they get what they want for this deal, it's a steal.
Jeter talked to McHale about how to make it work?
Oh, my God. You're terrible.
He is bad.
You're terrible.
Can we go through our show?
Oh, yeah, we'll go through the show.
Yeah.
Okay. So coming up here on the show today, we do have a great show ahead of us. We've got all these things happening. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
And the biggest event, arguably one of the biggest events
in
Vermont sports history,
is happening on Tuesday.
On Monday.
On Monday. That's right, Monday.
In about 48 hours.
Yeah. So we're going to have the man of the hour, Tom Brennan, former UVM basketball coach, is going to join us here live at 10:20. So next thing we're going to
do. One of the best people anybody will ever get to know. Forget all the basketball stuff.
Yep.
You know, forget, you know, how great he was as a coach, how good he can manage people on his team. One of the best people. If you ever get the chance to spend time with him, you have to.
You know, the other thing about him that makes him so special is he's got a huge heart. Like, he doesn't have to know you and what he does for you. And I have a great story about Coach that we'll get into. Maybe I'll get onto it with him or I'll go over it with you guys later on. But he's just a tremendous man. I'm so excited that we have this opportunity for him Monday night. It's a special time. And I think it's about time. I think there's not a better ambassador to UVM men's basketball, to UVM, and to our state than this man. So Tom Brennan's going to join us live at 10:20. We then at 10:40 are going to have, this is going to be a Tom Brennan first half hour show. We're going to talk to TJ Sorrentine. Now, if you don't know who TJ Sorrentine was, TJ is arguably one of the greatest point guards ever play at UVM, had the biggest shot in UVM history with the big shot against, in my opinion, that shot against Syracuse has got to be, is an unbelievable shot, man. It's a shot heard around the world.
But is it that, or is it David Hayne, the first time to breakthrough to get to the NCAA tournament?
You win against Syracuse in the NCAA tournament, and you hit a 55-foot shot to win it.
You got to get to the NCAA tournament before you get to the NCAA.
And then at 11 o'clock, we talk to our good buddy, Patriots beat writer Tom King. The Patriots, all of a sudden, are the best team in football.
It's like
again.
The Yankees in baseball.
A lot like it. It's right. And then Jake Ken at 11:40, we're going to get your fantasy football team ready because it's playoff time, baby. And for the record, the Meat Sweats, my team, got a bye this week, pal.
Congratulations.
Got a bye. Started 1-5 and got a bye in the tournament.
One giant step, my team, out. Stink.
I'm sorry to hear. No wonder you're so salty this morning. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you every Saturday morning. You come in and
you haven't stopped smiling.
It's a good day for me. I woke up and it's like Christmas came early. Giancarlo Stanton, left field for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to hear what John Sterling has for those home run calls.
I can.
All right, we'll take a break when we come back. The great Tom Brennan in UVM Hoops. We'll be right back.
to Stanton's hammer toward the gap. Left center field, he hit it well, and it's going to get out of here. A home run for Stanton to put Miami on top in the seventh.
We've got you covered 24-7. The sports station in the Champlain Valley. 101.3 ESPN. Jeff Paul.
Your team sucks.
You want to try that again?
No, maybe got the point.
Maybe later.
Yeah, I'll try that again later. That was very Dave Hunter of me.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Back in the day when this song came into Patrick Jimburn, you knew what that meant.
Oh, it was game time. All the preparation, the game planning, and everything was done. The show was ready to begin, and the man would walk out because he was leading the show.
Well, let's do it. On the TikTok Drew's guest line right now, we have the man of the hour, the king, the godfather of UVM men's basketball, Coach Tom Brennan. Good morning, Coach. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, Jeff. And before we get started,
yes,
I have to say this, and please understand, I am not gushing here, I'm not. But I have had the occasion, every Saturday morning, Miss Lenny gives me a list, and off I go to do, because she works all week, and I got Netflix during the week, so I can't do it during the week. But every Saturday, I go, and I look forward so much. And I'm not saying this because Bernie is my boy, and you are a wonderful guy, but that is a great show. You guys keep up the good work. It's tremendous. It's not easy. People think it's easy. It's not easy, but you guys really, really do well. And the other question I have to ask is, does the soccer coach get the vote of confidence from the AD?
Good. This is a public conversation. This would be good. Let's put that right out there, Bernie.
Well, first, thank you, Coach, for the wonderful compliments. And
you know, Bernie, it's funny that color red of your face matches that yellow sweatshirt really well. I love that. It's good. That's really good.
And yes, Coach, the soccer coach gets my vote of confidence, no doubt, for one more year.
That means you're gone by June, Jeff.
I know that. But let me, I'm going to segue what I want. I was going to bring this up later on, but I want to say this first, Coach. You know, we all know about UVM hoops and what you've meant to not only the program, but to our area. But I want to tell you this story. You probably don't even remember it. When I was a rookie coach here, in 2001, my first year, I had Mama Gooch's daughter, granddaughter, as my goalkeeper, and we went to the state championship game, and Tom Brennan came down to our bus on our way to the state championship game and wrote
a... I can tell you where it was parked. Yeah. I can take you to where it was parked.
And this is what makes you so special. He came down and he wrote this beautiful poem about our team that I still have. And at that moment, I realized... You know, at that point in your career, your team had been, you guys were taking off. You were Tom Brennan. You were on the radio. You're a big time college basketball coach. But you took the time to come down to a high school girls soccer team and really make their day as we were getting ready to play a state championship. And I always wanted to thank you for that. And it meant the world to me. And I learned right there, and I was brand new to the area at the time, what a special person you were to our community. So I wanted to make sure I thanked you publicly for that this morning, because it was a great moment for me in my career.
That is so kind. I appreciate you saying it. But full disclosure, I owed Mama Gooch way more than I owed you, kid.
I know that. And I didn't mean that you owed it to me, but for what you did for our girls, and I know for Mama Gooch, it was amazing.
The one thing, and I know Bernie will tell you this, one thing that I loved about being the coach here, I loved it, was going to high school games, not even basketball necessarily, but every year I'd pick teams on the radio about who I thought was going to win championships and so forth, and honest to God, people would call me up and say, please, please don't pick my team. Please don't, because it was like a... I was like a jinx. I had a love affair with the high school community, high school sports here. I just thought it's really, really neat. And I was just so happy to be a part of any of it, to be honest with you.
So Coach, everybody knows obviously what you've done here. How about what led you up to coming here to getting to Vermont and wanting to take the job back in the mid 80s?
Well, it's funny you ask, and as long as we're going full disclosure this morning, the reason was I remember Mike Gilligan I was having a beef with my athletic director, who was a fellow named Frank Ryan, and you guys being sports guys might know who that is, the last Cleveland champion before LeBron. He was the quarterback of the Browns in 64, and he was our AD, and we really banged heads. It didn't work well at all. And you know, back then, when you're young, you think it's all his fault. And, of course, you know, I look at it now and think, you know, what the hell did he think of you? You know, so, but anyway, I came up, and Denny Lambert offered me the job, and I really wasn't going to take it. As you know, Bernie, it wasn't a good situation. And so I went right down, honest to God, guys. I knocked on a guy's door at 9:30 at night. It was the night that Roger Clemens struck out 20 for the first time when I was driving back. I'll never forget it. And so I got down to the guy's house about 9:30 at night, and I knocked on his door, and he didn't even tell me to come in. And I said, "We got to talk." And he said, "What about?" I said, "I've been offered the Vermont job." He said, "I think you should take it." So my leverage went out the window a little bit, you know, and I had to formulate a new plan. And I can remember, guys, honest to God, I can remember sitting. And I'd been here before Bernie was a baby. I was like, he was in third grade or second grade. I remember taking him to Stewart's Root Beer.
Yep.
But anyway, I was sitting in the chair, and then I thought, TB, what in the hell have you gotten yourself into here? My guess is you're crazy, man. You were a coach at Yale in the Ivy League, Vermont. But you know, you want to make God smile. Tell him your plans, fellas. And hey, let's use another comparison. You have a great radio show. Whoever would have thought that?
Not even Bernie and I. Let me be honest with you. Hey, let me ask this question. Give me the feeling you had when you got the phone call that they were going to dedicate the floor to you.
You know what's funny, Jeff, is that it was nice, and there's you know, their money had to be raised, and you know, there were some things had to happen, and it's amazing, man, all the damn hoops you got to jump through. It's the greatest honor ever, but you know, the board of trustees got to approve it, the athletic department, Learfield, the president, you know, I mean, so it's not, you know, it's more complicated than one might think. But I remember this when now my family's all starting to come in now, my grandkids, and everybody's making their way toward Burlington, and we will have a total full house and tomorrow and Monday. And I remember when we beat Maine, that was the second championship, and it was the night Coppenrath had 44 or 40, whatever it was. And I can remember that night, and both you guys know this. Both you guys know because you both have coached. And I was sitting in my house Friday night saying to myself, there is no way that Maine is beating us. There ain't no way. No way. And I remember getting up the next morning and driving in on 127 and looking up at the mountains, and it was beautiful, and the sun was on it because we played early, you know. And I remember driving down 127 and saying, TB, how about this? In 3 hours, you're going to be the happiest man in the whole wide world. And I feel that way. I felt that way since Thursday. And I don't even have to play a game on Monday. But it's just so neat. And you know, and so many people are going to share in it. And so I can't even begin to tell you how moved. I'm like a little kid at Christmas, honest to God.
And Coach, you know, you have some success. You talk about this. Was there ever any courting of you to potentially leave Vermont and go to something that you might have thought had been a greener pasture that could have foiled all of this wonderful events that happened?
Only when you got the AD job at Colchester was I wavering slightly. No, you know, really, it's true. There wasn't a lot of, you know, no, not a lot of courting. You know, LaSalle, I know it's easy to remember because they were the only school, but LaSalle called, and it was right before the great team senior year, and Bernie, you've been to my house, and it's, you know, we live right on the lake, and yeah, we're very lucky and beautiful, and I remember Miss Lenny sitting there saying, where do you want to go? She said, they play a song for you here, for God's sake. Where are you going? So I thought, you know what, you're right. And God love her. I always listen to her. And the next year we beat Syracuse.
Coach, I got to ask you. So last week we had Bob Ryan on. We were talking about you. And he's going to actually be here. I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but he said it on the air, so I'm assuming you knew he's going to be here on Monday night for you. But I remember we asked him the relationship you guys have forged. And he said he came up to do a story on you, and he spent the day with you, and as soon as he spent one day, he knew you guys were going to be best friends. I mean, again, that says, I mean, a guy like Bob Ryan, who's been around so many people, I mean, he spends one day with you and says he's one of your best friends. I mean, that's got to feel good, right?
Well, it did feel good. And me and him and Giannini, the night before the main game, we closed up the scuffer. I don't know what the hell time we got out of there. And the reason I say that is not to brag, but to say that you guys both, being sports guys, and he is so neat to hang around with because he knows. So he's like an encyclopedia, you know? How about this season? Can tell you the player. You know, he's great, and he's such a great guy, and he knows so much, and he was very, very good to me. And you know what's funny, fellas, because I said this to him, you know, back in the day when I used to get the Globe in the morning because they had such a great sports page, as you guys know. And so I went to a dinner where he was being honored, where he was being retired, and I said, you know, it's funny because I had breakfast with the guy three times a week for 15 years before I ever met him. But when I met him, he was even better than, you know. And you guys think, how do you do that? How do you just take a blank space, boom, and X amount of minutes later, you got a great story where people are saying, yep, that's what I think, or that's no way, or whatever. But he's just, he's a really unique guy.
Coach, after you beat Syracuse in the NCAA tournament, I mean, the emotion was just crazy, but do you remember what the conversation was when you shook Boeheim's hand when you were going through the line?
I don't, because, Jeff, there was none. It was very, very brief. He was very upset, naturally. They had just won the... And again, let me say, I love my kids to death, and we were really good. We were a really good team. But Syracuse had just won the Big East. But they weren't, you guys know, they weren't a great Syracuse. They were good. McNamara, really good. And Warrior had a couple pros. But the game was awful. You know, the game wasn't any good. So that, you know, it it did not lend itself to hugs. And he ain't a hugger anyway. So so anyway, I see him in St. Louis and I had retired. And you know, when you're in this business a long time, you got a lot of boys. You know people. We're assistants together, whatever. But I never ran in with his group. We never, you know, we knew each other and that. But so I see him in St. Louis, and I had no idea what to say to him or what he was going to say to me. And he went, "Well, Mr. Effin' Happy Coach, are you still happy?" I said, Jimmy, you're going to the Hall of Fame. I'm going back to the farm, man. Come on. Of course. It was one game. And he went, "I'm not supposed to lose in Vermont." I said, "Well, enjoy the rest of your day."
So, Coach, what are the festivities, the plans for you as Christmas comes early on this well-deserved, you know, weekend and honor on Monday night?
Well, tomorrow may even be better for me because we're going to have probably, yourself included, about 20 players that are all going to come back tomorrow, and then they all will be a part of Monday as well, and then, of course, Monday will be crazy. But yeah, and you know, Bernie, we used to have these parties after the wins. It would like to be 100 people here. You
That's
know,
right.
It was nuts, and they'd come out of the mountains. And so we're going to have one of those again tomorrow, and I can't tell you how much I look forward to it. And I want to thank my wife for all her work and putting it together. Of course, I'm a greeter. That's what I do. But
hey, Coach.
And Jeff, let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about that shot Sorrentine took.
Yeah.
That used to be standard fare for your partner. He was 4 or 5 a game from there.
How many went in? That's the real question.
All right. 4 or 5 a game from there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Coach Dave Hunter, Sports Saturday 101.3 ESPN. I got another job where I'm a greeter, and if you ever walk into the bar and sit in the very first seat, look up, and we still got the newspaper clippings of that great day against Syracuse. Esox, 194 Main Street across from the divorce court in Burlington.
You know what? It never goes away, my boy. It's unbelievable. And people still talk about it. It's like when OJ got off. People remember where they were.
Coach, we love you. We're proud of you. And enjoy every moment of this. I can't imagine what it's going to feel like. And we're just so excited for you. So enjoy every minute.
Thank you, Jeff. You're too kind. And again, I'm serious about this, man. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You really got it. You really got it. There's a certain thing you have to have. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I know you got it. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach, so much.
All right, boys.
The great Tom Brennan. I got to tell you, man, it's an emotional moment, and you can see why he's as special as he is, Bernie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he recruited my brother to go to William & Mary when I was in second grade, and he had nothing to do, and it was a weekend, and he's like, hey, let's go. And he took me to the old A&W Root Beer, where the Jiffy Lube is by the fairgrounds, and it's a memory that, for my first memory of him, and just it's blossomed ever since. The best guy in the world.
And good root beers.
Tremendous.
Those are good root beers.
Yes.
The frozen mugs.
Yes.
Tom Brennan and A&W root beer. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Coach, the coach's point guard, the guy that made that big shot against Syracuse, TJ Sorrentine, joins us. Don't go anywhere.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Party all the time, party all the time.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Ten on the shot clock. Sorrentine is three. Hits it from way downtown, 25 feet out. Timeout, Syracuse. 66 seconds to go. 59-55, Vermont.
I can tell you where I was and what I was doing that night. We were at my friend's playing cards, and my friend lived above another gentleman, an older gentleman that wanted everything quiet. We couldn't make any noise. And we were like, it was like, you know, we're screaming but not screaming. I mean, it was just an unbelievable moment. Crazy, crazy game. And on the TikTok Heroes guest line, we have the guy that made that shot, the great TJ Sorrentine. Good morning, TJ. Thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, good morning, TJ. Does that highlight ever get old?
Well, every time I listen to it, I wait for the announcer to say, and he hits it off the rim. What a bad shot that was.
What was going through your head at that moment? Because, you know, it probably wasn't I know it wasn't the play that was called, but, you know, but that was your game, man. I mean, what was going through your head at, like, the 2 seconds, 3 seconds before you take that shot? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was the whole time leading up to it, I knew I was going to take the shot, so I was kind of just mentally preparing myself for just to take the shot, you know, making sure my legs were into it. And, you know, I just wanted to get us to a two-possession game. And once I let it go, I'd be lying if I didn't think it was going to go in. I knew it was going in right when I left my hand.
And what's the feeling when it goes through the net, the place is going crazy? I mean, you're the net, and all of a sudden you got UVM basketball and you are the national darlings in the United States. I mean, what's going through your mind when you're running back to play defense?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I was just hoping the game would end right there because there's still some time left on the clock. But thankfully, you know, we sealed the deal. But yeah, it's a real moment, you know, just kind of looking around. You know, that's a moment you never forget. You just the sound of the crowd and just kind of, you know, the emotion that you feel and your teammates feel. And that, it was an awesome, awesome experience.
And you know, TJ, you know, so many questions for you. So let's start at the beginning. How did you end up at Vermont? And then we'll kind of go into, because, you know, you struggled with some injuries and talking about, and we want to get to Coach and how he helped you. But first and foremost, how and why did you end up at the University of Vermont?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, AAU basketball wasn't like it is today. You know, there wasn't a ton of exposure events for, you know, kids to go to, especially, you know, from a small state like Rhode Island. We only had one AAU team. And Curtis Wilson and Jesse Eagle, two former assistants, were at Providence College for a tournament. And, you know, we played like a 9 o'clock game, but the last game of the night. And fortunately, they stuck around. And I ended up having like 40 points in that game. And literally like 3 days later, Coach Brennan was down at my high school and was in the office. My dad was the athletic director at the high school. So we were in the office. He was showing me film of Eddie Benton and giving me his whole spiel of how he only recruits one point guard every 4 years. And, you know, I was his guy, and he hadn't even seen me play at that point. So he was already putting the sell on. And, you know, we had a great rapport with him and Coach Eagle as well. And, you know, the rest is history. They came after me really hard, and it was really – they just made it to a point where there was no way I could say no to those guys.
So, you know, you come to Vermont, you hit the you know, one of the biggest shots in Vermont basketball history. Along the way, though, you had some bumps in the road. Talk to us about those bumps and talk about, you know, how Coach, you know, who's having that great floor dedication on Monday, really supported you and helped you.
Yeah, I mean, when I broke my wrist my junior year, you know, he was terrific. The best thing about Coach is he never lets you lose confidence, and he always instills confidence in you. And I was really down that whole year, and then, you know, he was just a great support system. You know, I could have come back that, like, halfway through the year, but I would have missed, you know, 15 games. And, you know, I just loved to play so much. I didn't want to miss any games in my college career. So, you know, he was supportive of me taking the redshirt year. And then, you know, coming back after the year, I really struggled, to be honest, to start that season, my redshirt junior season. And he never wavered. He was always pumping me with confidence and wanted me to shoot the basketball and play the way he knew I could play. And, you know, that's the best thing about Coach, man. He just he lets you play, and he instills confidence in you to the nth degree.
You know, if someone like me, Bernie has a different perspective of Coach because he played for him. He's around him a lot. But for me, you know, I just know him, you know, professionally. I don't know the insides. Give us a background story of Coach that when the cameras weren't on and people weren't around, the kind of guy he was to you guys behind the scenes. Give us an idea what kind of person he was. He is.
He was many things for me. Speaking from a personal standpoint, even from a fatherly figure, just teaching me how to grow up. You know, I was very young and dumb, to be quite honest. I did a lot of dumb things when I was on campus. And I always say, thank God there was no social media like it is today. I would have been in big trouble, unfortunately. But he was just a big-time father figure. On the court, he would let me play, and whether I turned it over 8 times or missed 10 threes, it was keep going. And off the court, it was, you know, when I did something I wasn't supposed to, he was getting on me and, you know, telling me this is not how we act and this is not what we do here. And he taught me a ton just how to act off the court. You know, and that was what I needed, to be quite honest. I was an immature kid and I was away from home for the first time. And, you know, his ability to instill confidence in me but also discipline me at the same time was very unique and something I needed for sure.
How about can you tell us the best story of how Coach motivated you before a game? Like one thing that just sticks out in your mind that he has done to just like, okay, I'm just ready to go.
Yeah, well, a funny story. We were in the finals. My senior year, we played Northeastern. Northeastern's really good, and so it's that Friday. You obviously play Saturday morning. Nothing's changed. You know, 11 a.m., you got that slot, ESPN. And so we practice Friday, probably 4 o'clock. That was our practice slot. So it's the last time, you know, to prep for Northeastern. And I'll never forget it. We come out, and, you know, we didn't do a lot of breakdown stuff in practice. It was a lot of playing and, you know, simple. The game today is totally different in how coaches prepare, and I think some of that's good, and you know, but the way we did it was we just rolled the balls out and played in practice. We competed. So, you know, we do our little warm up, and then we start playing up and down 5-on-5. Literally 5 minutes into it, you know, our first team is kicking our second team's butt. We're probably up 10-0. He blows the whistle, brings it in, says, "I want everybody out of the gym." Now, mind you, this is the night before a championship game to go to the NCAA tournament. We've practiced for 15 minutes. "Bring it in, everybody, bring it in. Everybody out of the gym. We play like that, we're going to win by 30 tomorrow. Everyone out of the gym. I don't want anybody in the gym. We're not going through the scout. We're not doing anything. Everyone out of the gym." And literally kicked everybody out of the gym. You know, the assistants are like, "We got to go over the scout." They're looking around. You know, I'm looking around like, "I got to get some more shots." He's like, "Everyone out." He didn't let anyone stay in the gym. And right from that moment, we knew we were going to win the game. You know, we were going to kick their butt. And lo and behold, we won by, you know, 30. So this goes to show, you know, he instilled that confidence in us. And it wasn't about the scout. It wasn't about knowing their personnel. It wasn't about running our plays. It was just, we're going to win. We're the better team. We have confidence. We know we're going to win. We are not going to lose this game. And that's just typifies who he was.
We are talking to former UVM standout TJ Sorrentine here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. As we get ready for Monday night and Tom Brennan's induction, we're going to name the floor after him at Patrick Gym. So how excited were you to hear that UVM was going to do this for your old coach?
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's funny now, any gym I go to or I'm watching on TV, I see, you know, I check the floor to see whose names are on the floor. And he's in some big company. I told him the other day, "You got a lot to live up to, man." a lot of these gyms that I look at, you know, a lot of high major schools and even low major schools, just the names on these floors are big time coaches. And he's obviously well deserved of that, the stuff he did for Vermont and, you know, continues to do. So I was thrilled to death, and it's going to be a great day. You know, hopefully, you know, a lot of guys are going to come back. I've talked to a lot of guys on my team that will be back, and so it'll be a lot of fun for sure.
And how about, you know, you talk about the links in history, and you're going to be linked with him forever, from the shot to being inducted into the Hall of Fame at University of Vermont in the same class with Taylor. What does that mean? Have you, like, step back to reflect and the perspective you have on just these honors and how kind of, like, you know, you're his right-hand man the whole way through?
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, to be honest, Bernie. I mean, I really don't want to be linked with him, to be honest. But, no, I'm just kidding. No, it's he's the best. I mean, he, you know, you can't describe our relationship, to be honest, as is way better than it was when I was a player. You know, we would butt heads a lot, and we've come a long way. And he's like one of my good friends now. You know, part of it is because he's bored out of his mind, and he calls me all the time. And you know, I love talking to him. You know, I really do. And our relationship has grown tremendously since. And to be able to be a part of all his honorings and just be associated with him and obviously Taylor and that and the other guys on my team that, you know, helped us have great success is an awesome feeling. You know, it is a reason why, you know, the whole starting five is going to come back, you know, for this event. You know, the guys that I play with. You know, it's just, we're linked for forever, and we have a great relationship all around, for sure.
TJ, I know you're coaching right now at Brown, but are you following what this UVM program's done over the years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I try to watch every game I can, and now with the video equipment that we have, even if I don't watch it live, the next day I can go watch it. So I watch all those games. You know, I'm very, very close with, Kyle, Bernie's nephew, and, so we talk regularly, you know, 2-3 times a week. So it's great. I love to stay up with those guys. They're awesome. I love the staff, and obviously they've done a great job, and, you know, they got a tough one today for sure too.
TJ, as always, we appreciate the time, buddy. You are going to be back here for Monday night, correct?
Yes, I will be. I will be looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, TJ.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
You know, I should have said it. I should thank TJ Sorrentino. So if it wasn't for that shot, I would have never really met my wife.
You sure about that?
Well, I mean, I...
You sure you want to thank him?
Ah, come on. I mean, it's awesome.
That is true. She makes a good chili.
Mean chili. Yeah. She makes a heck of a good chili, you know. But yeah, if it wasn't for that shot, I remember because we couldn't make any noise in the apartment we were in, we said, we got to go downtown. And sure enough, that's the first time that I really... I know, I guess we had met originally in Boston, but that was the first time that we actually had a conversation. I had my first date with her the next morning. Yeah. Had a bagel. So thank you, TJ. I got my wife out of that.
There you go.
Not just a big three for him, big three for me.
That's good.
It is good.
And the big three, I mean, Taylor, TB.
Unbelievable.
And TJ, it's just Monday night is going to be so exciting. But the Cats do have a tough battle today.
A tough battle and a tough battle on Monday.
Yeah,
with Sienna.
Sienna's no pushover, that's for sure.
I was traveling last night, and on my way, I was in Albany, and I was listening to a radio show down there, and they were talking to the coach of Sienna and one of their players. So they're going to be formidable, no question about that.
No doubt. And they battle Albany today.
Yeah, the Albany Cup is today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got another public service announcement, another public service message, and my point's being made exactly. As usual, Bernie, I'm right, and I'm going to tell you when we get back. Don't go
anywhere. Shocker.
Golic and Wingo, Le Batard, Priscillo, The Huddle, Champlain Valley Game Night. This is 101.3 ESPN.
Phone call.
Monica from Williston.
I don't think I could have married Don Hoffman. And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while?
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right there. She wants to go down. She, you know, it's great. So for the record, now you're on the poo-poo list of my wife. Remember last week because of the chili, you said you weren't going to play that thing?
I got rid of the other one, but that one snuck up on me.
Well, now you're back on the poo-poo list.
Yeah, I already got rid of this one.
When's that porch going to get painted in that litter box?
Oh, right, just playing that in sporadic moments, yeah. So
anyway, the chili was great.
It is good. I told you, right? It's legendary
it's
chili.
It's a gas.
I mean, it's
no pun intended
no
there, buddy.
No pun intended no, there no. at all. Well played, though. Well played. So as I've told you guys numerous times in this show, I am not a big fan of the reptile, the snake. Okay? I'm not saying that I don't think there's a place for them in the world, because there definitely is. But there's not a place for them in your living room.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you a story. So this guy in Florida, so right now the Everglades, I guess, in Florida is like overrun by pythons because people are letting them go. This guy just caught a 17-foot behemoth in the Florida Everglades, a python, this python hunter in South Florida. A guy's name's Jason Leon. He broke the agency's old record with his kill of a Burmese python in southern Miami-Dade County at around 2:45 on Friday, last Friday. The 17-foot, 1-inch python weighing 132 pounds is the longest ever brought into the agency's python elimination program. So basically what's happening is these animals are getting into the ecosystem of down there, and they're killing off native animals, you know? And the reason they're out there is because somebody has had a snake or two in their house, thought they were cute when they were little, but when they started eyeing them that they wanted to eat them, they're like, oh, I got to get this thing out of here. They just throw them in the pond. Throw them into the river.
Let them go. Let them be on the wild where they belong.
Listen, what are you doing with the python as a pet? They don't love you. They're not cuddling with you. They want to eat you. They want to eat you. And when they get bigger, they're going to try to eat you. So let the python stay in the jungle where they're supposed to be. They don't need to be down in Miami-Dade County.
And that one that just got caught?
Yeah.
Could eat us.
No question. And wanted to eat the person that owned it. Somebody owned that snake and was like, whew, that's a big boy.
Now, why would that snake want to go after its owner when they let him go free?
Because that's why he let him go free before the snake got the idea. The owner's not stupid. The owner's like, what the hell am I going to do with this? The snake was probably 14 feet foot then. He's probably running around killing birds and chasing people's dogs around in poor Florida. Because there's a wild snake running around, and there's a ton of them. They're paying people to go down and exterminate these things down there.
You want to go? Let's go for
no
it.
No way, man.
Come on.
No way.
Let's conquer our fears. Let's go.
If someone said to me, Jeff, I'll give you $100,000 to go hunt for Burmese python in Florida, I'm out. No way. There's not enough money for that. I'd have a hard time with a garter snake, and I'm not kidding. And for the record, I got a text from my wife, Dave. She just said, I thought that was done. She goes, uh-oh. Dave said that he wasn't going to play that anymore. So there you go, Dave. Way to ruin everything for everybody. It's going to be great.
Okay. Let's settle down.
Now, just I'm upset
about
the snake.
Phone call says most of those pythons got loose due to Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah. That's what they tell you.
Thank you.
That's what they tell you. People are letting those things go. I'm telling you.
No.
Well, then what's the point of... How'd they get loose? From where? Was it from a...
From the hurricane.
I know, but who had them that got loose? Was it at
people in the houses that got destroyed?
Okay, then you shouldn't have them for those reasons, then. If there's a hurricane potential, you should not have a snake.
How can you predict that?
You can't predict it, but who wants a snake? A snake? What is
a
snake
doing? A lot of people.
Doing? For what? What's a snake going to do for you as a pet?
It's a great talking point.
We'll be right back. It's Dave. I got to get off this. I'm annoyed, and I'm afraid of snakes. And the dark. You know what I mean?
Afraid of snakes. Get it? Yeah.
All right, David. SportsCenter time, buddy.
About time.
Yeah. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You get me going on these snake stories. He's pulling these huge snakes that I get annoyed.
I have
a very good friend. I told you the story, the Super Bowl Sunday story, right?
Right.
Where the rat beat up the snake, and then my friend had to bring the rat back because the snake was afraid of the rat. That's a great upset. One of the greatest upsets in Super Bowl history, I think, actually, because it was on Super Bowl Sunday. And that was...
Who was playing that guy? Enough.
I think it was Patriots-Carolina. I believe it was that year.
Because if it's the Giants...
I wasn't watching it.
Yeah, we talked too much New York.
My friend's texting me saying that... My good friend... Whose house I was actually in that I was talking about that we had to be quiet in was just giving me a bunch of grief. He says, all we talk about is New York, New York, New York. He's like, this is your show's obnoxious. It's like, geez, I thought we were friends. Hurt my feelings. So I started talking about snakes. So there you go. I'm not talking about New York anymore. Hey, yeah, Byrne.
I agree. And I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, a huge trade and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got to talk about it.
Well, you got to.
It's only the National League MVP going to a team that was runner-up to go to the World Series.
Yeah, it's kind of a game away.
Yeah.
Pretty big deal for the Yankees.
Twice.
It's not official yet, so we'll see. I mean, I've been looking at Twitter here. And the interesting thing, though, was we're waiting. We have our guest online because we got to talk some New England Patriot football. I mean, the Patriots all
of a sudden.
We have to. Of course. We got them, David?
Yeah, of course.
Of course we have them. Well, listen, we'll get onto the baseball thing later on, but let's change subjects here and go to football. So let's
why
get,
like next year for the World Series, the Yankees have won, the Patriots have won the Super Bowl this year. No, why do we even talk about it?
Let's get on the TikTok Viewers Guest Line. Our good friend Patriot beat writer Tom King joins us now. Good morning, Tom.
Wait a minute, why change? I'm a Yankee fan.
What do you think, Tom?
Don't do this to me. Come on.
Hey, listen. You know, he doesn't remember, but I remember the Marlins being gutted and sending Beckett and Lowell to them as well not too long ago. I didn't hear you complaining back in those days.
You didn't know me that well back then.
I wasn't happy about that.
We weren't happy as Yankee fans, but I can tell you, my buddy to my right here, that's a big Sox fan.
What do you mean, a World Series MVP and a great pitcher?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it didn't bother me at all.
Not a problem at all.
Before we get into the Patriots, I don't really like the whole – I had to see all the particulars of this deal because I want to know who they exactly gave up, and I haven't seen that yet. Starlin Castro, who I think, you know, kind of a free-swinging hitter and also a lazy second baseman defensively, but still a good player. But I hope they didn't give up any of those prime prospects. And again, why do I feel like they got A-Rod all over again? You know, that's what I'm afraid of.
Here's the difference there, and there's a great article if you get a chance in the New York Post, Tom King, or not Tom King.
Joel Sherman, I read it all the time.
Not just Sherman, but his last name is King. But anyway, how it's breaking down
George
for the
King.
George King.
George King.
What they basically explained was that it's not going to be as big a deal because they're going to trade Starlin and maybe Chase Headley in this deal. And also throw in like a third or fourth tier prospect, so it's not a big prospect. And what that does is freeing up the money with Headley and Starlin Castro will keep the Yankees where they need to be for the luxury tax. So for the exception of maybe the years of this contract, it's not going to be an albatross in the Yankees. It's not going to cost them a lot of prospects. So, I'm with you on this. I don't want to see them get rid of these kids.
It isn't. They just got rid of a huge contract for 10 years. Now they're stuck with another one. So, to me, that, you know, and it prevents you from going out and doing other things.
Well, it just depends on what the contract, how much money that the Marlins are trying to take on the contract. That's the thing. We need to see logistics.
Kevin McHale did it for the Celtics, Derek Jeter's doing it for the Yankees. Okay, here we go.
My God, I'm going to start fist fighting with you in here. But
let me tell you, Jeter did not want to do it this way. I mean, he wanted, you know, San Francisco or St. Louis to trade him there and everything else. The deals were in place, and if the Dodgers had made a move, he probably would have ended up going there because that's where he wanted to go. So that was his prime. That was Stanton's prime team that he wanted. He wanted to go back home. He's from the L.A. area, I believe. So he wanted to go back there, but the Dodgers never made a move.
Dodgers really can't make a move. I mean, their farm system is very weak, and their payroll is astronomical. So they were kind of hamstrung.
This did not take shape until yesterday afternoon when Stanton let it be known, I'm only going to go to four teams, you know?
That's right.
So, and that's how it happened. Can you imagine now? Let's segue. Can you imagine that happening in football? Won't happen.
Exactly.
Not with that union. Then it can't happen. No one's got anything like that. Are you kidding me?
Let's segue.
That's the difference. If you want to see the difference between football and baseball, right there. Today is where you see the difference. Think about the power of the Major League Baseball Players Association and the weakness of the NFL Players Association. A player in the NFL would not be able to do that. What do? They hold out. So they don't get paid, and they sit. Doesn't happen in baseball.
That's true.
They dictate where they want to go.
That's true.
And their money is guaranteed. You know, and that's why, you know, it's a man. That's why Tom Brady don't have the upper hand, you know, may not have the upper hand someday when the Patriots say, you know, okay, we're going to ship you out to San Francisco, but that's not going to happen. He'll retire a Patriot. I'm fairly certain of that. But I mean, that's the difference. And football players, I mean, they're all upset. You can tell they're probably all upset about the Roger Goodell extension. And rightfully so. Well, guys, your time is, 5 years from now? Whatever it is, 2021, somewhere around there when this deal is up. And when the union contract is up, you know, make your noise then.
But didn't the NFL union get what they wanted this past time? I mean, didn't the NFL players get whatever they wanted? I know our segment's going to supposed to be about the Patriots, but I mean, they negotiated what they wanted. They got a lot out of what they in terms of what they had to do in their practice times. they voted to do the Thursday night football games. And I know that all of a sudden, Drew Brees is freaking out over that, but he's the one that he voted okay for that.
Right, but they got what they thought they could get. In other words, all right. Well, I've been part of a union before, and you don't ask for the moon a lot of times. You ask for more than maybe you think you're going to be able to get, but as any negotiator does. But still, their contracts aren't guaranteed.
But can't you understand? I mean, look, I'm not taking either side, but can't you understand why a football player's contract isn't guaranteed? I mean,
because of the injury factor.
Exactly. You're not going to spend. You can't spend that kind of money on an athlete when you play a sport that there's a better chance you're going to get hurt than you're not going to get hurt.
Right. Which is why what they should be able to do is they should have some kind of a clause in there, a union clause, where the player automatically gets this amount of money if he is injured and not be able to play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's something that you would need to get in there.
The question there was, would that go against the cap? I guess that would be the next question because.
Yeah, well, that's all. I mean, they'll all have to sit down and negotiate that. But I mean, let's go with the Patriots. We were with Gronkowski. I mean, the union only suspended him one game.
Yeah.
All right, and they did that because of, they said they don't look at the result of the other player. They look at the rule and what the player did, and what the player's history is. And with Gronkowski being a first offense, this is only going to be a one game deal. Now, on the face of what he did, I think they should have suspended him for the rest of the season. He could have really
hurt that.
Think about it. He could have crippled
Tom,
that guy for life.
Tom, let me ask you a question. We were talking. I said this last week on our show. The NFL's becoming the WWE. There's. I mean, did you see the fist fight in the middle of the field with Crabtree and Aqib Talib? Did you see what Mike Evans the wide receiver for Tampa Bay, whoever he hit for San Francisco? I mean, these are
and the violence in the Cincinnati Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Game?
This game. What Gronkowski did was downright mild compared to what those guys did, and we're talking one game suspension for these guys. And they're not. I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The NFL is it's a tough brand right now for me.
It is, and until the suspensions get a little stiffer, what it reminded me of was the NHL, because you just kept getting emails from the Players Association saying, "Well, we're going to fight this suspension. All right, the NFL has suspended this guy." I get those from I used to get those from the NHL all the time, when I covered the Bruins, and it was like one or two a day, and the NFL started to get that way, but until they get tougher with the suspensions, it won't deter a lot.
Won't. I think you got to get not only just the suspension. I think you got to take more money. You got to take a lot of money from these guys because I mean, if I couldn't,
yeah,
I mean, I was watching.
Sometimes the team pays the money. So I think what you've got to do is you got to hurt the team in some way.
Right.
That's what you have to do. I think going after the individual doesn't always get it done in terms of, keeping them from doing things. I mean, you've got to punish the team to the point where they simply won't tolerate it anymore because it hurts them. And until you do that, I think you're still going to... I mean, players don't want to be suspended. Don't get me wrong. But until you do that, you're going to get a lot more of this. There'll be... We got what, 4 weeks left to go in the season? Four or five weeks?
Four.
And then we got 4 weeks to playoffs or whatever. There'll be a couple of controversial hits that guys are going to get suspended for. Guarantee it.
So, Tom, to shift kind of to the Patriots, is this defense shaping into that championship form at this time?
Yeah, they keep playing all these cream puff opponents, they will be. I mean, look, I'm not gonna lie to you here. I mean, I'm not surprised about all this. All right, now, yes, they are playing well, and they are much tougher than they were early in the season when they were going up against a couple of good teams that put some points up on them and drove the ball down the field. But tell me, somebody really outside of Atlanta, which has its offensive problems this year because of the idiot they hire to be their coordinator. Outside of them, can you tell me who they really played that is really tough?
Yeah, I can. But
well,
can you tell
Kansas
me
City Week 1 was good?
Kansas City was a good team in week one.
Wait a minute. How many good teams are in the AFC, period?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, what team? And maybe Pittsburgh, because they seem to play up and down to their talent levels.
Right.
But that's the only team that could beat them.
Right. I agree with you. That's the other issue, you know? Now, if they were to play New Orleans now, I'd be very curious to see how that defense would react. Okay? New Orleans was not the team they were now. Not that team early in the year. That's why I always tell you guys when you come on, don't pay attention to results, September results, because they don't mean a thing. Teams change their identity completely, you know, as the season goes on until mid to late October into November. That's when you get a real good look at your team. Except for the Giants, our Giants skunk from day one, and we'll continue to stink the final 4 weeks of the season. But this is, you know, I mean, the Patriots defense is doing the job. I think it's, you know, and they're doing the job with guys that, I mean, can barely name half the time. They've done a great metamorphosis over the last. If you take a look at the Patriots defense now compared to who was starting 3 years ago or 4 years ago, they get the turnover. There's been a lot of it.
Tom, let me ask you this question, because we only have a couple minutes left. Last time that Miami played New England, I thought they physically beat up Tom Brady. Is there some concern going into this week?
Well, I think when you're on the road, technically, because of the crowd noise and everything else, if they get loud in Miami, there's going to be even more concern, because that's really tough. That's why you see that's where the real home field advantage is for any football team, is with the crowd making the noise and disrupting the offensive signals of the other team. So I think that there could be some concern about that. And let's face it, Brady's banged up. He's not practicing for a reason. You know, they're making sure that he doesn't put too much stress on there, on the shoulder or whatever it is that's bothering him. Before he goes into those games, and with the extra day this week, he could sit out two practices instead of one. So that's why, you know, you don't see him practicing. You're going to see him being held out most of the time, at least one practice a week from now on through the rest of the year. But yeah, sure, it's a concern. I had a laugh when I saw. I disagreed with it. I don't know, it was one of the New York writers. I don't know if it was Gary Myers or from the Daily News or somebody from the New York Post who went through what the Giants should do in the offseason. And one of them was to sign Nate Solder. I don't know if I think Nate Solder is really a, I think his best days may be behind him. But that's just between you and me. You know, that's just what I think.
Sure.
I mean, but, I think the Patriots, they've got to be a little bit concerned. That's why it's so important for them to develop that running game. You got to develop that running game because you got to save your quarterback. If you take a look at, again, the Giants, what's wrong with the Giants? One of the problems their offensive line is that the problems is they can't run the ball. If you run the ball, you take so much pressure off an offensive line and off a quarterback because the defense can't tee off on your guy back there.
Well,
and that's the big thing. And the Patriots have done that now. They've gone. Deion Lewis is back in good form. It takes a while to come back from a knee to be the same guy you were before. Burkhead is obviously a guy that they really were smart to get. This is, you know, this team is pretty good right now.
Tom,
no doubt about it.
We could talk to you all day. Unfortunately, this segment is over, buddy. Thanks so much for your time, pal.
No problem. Time for me to eat my corn toasties and my coffee.
We've really come a long way.
Yeah.
That's a long way from Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles.
Captain Crunch,
oh,
man.
Captain Crunch.
Oh, corn toasties are the best, guys. You got to get them. They're the best thing in the morning. Absolutely fantastic.
Have a good day, buddy. Happy holidays if we don't talk to you.
All right. Same to you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Interesting perspective. We didn't get a whole lot of Patriots there, but going into this interview, I was going to expect these guys, here come the Patriots, but the Patriots have some issues.
Again,
not really.
I don't believe it, and it raises the question, like, who's good in the NFL?
Yeah. Well, I know who's not good in the NFL.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
We're not talking New York, Jeff.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. No New York. But our team's not good.
No.
All right. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do
some... Is that why they're wearing white this Sunday?
That's right. The white flag. They should have been wearing that week four.
Throwing the flag.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is
sports talk for the Champlain Valley. Online at 1013ESPN.com and on your FM at 1013ESPN. Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here on 1013ESPN.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 1013ESPN.
What a nice surprise, Bernie. We're just
sitting
here.
What, you got to see me?
Well, of course. Okay. I mean, you know I love that.
All right.
But here we are, you know, in between segments, hanging out, doing our thing, and here comes Jake Kent in the studio.
I made my way through ungodly security.
Yeah,
and
it's rough
my
here.
Way through. Yeah, and
well,
here we are.
First of all, you know this building's, you know, haunted, right?
Oh, jeez. Not this again.
Telling you.
You like those ghost hunter things.
I'm just telling you. I don't like them. I'm intrigued by them.
He's afraid of the dark and snakes.
I am.
That's, I think one of the 92.9 guys likes the ghost
Mike Zarni. Mike Zarni.
Oh, yeah,
he's been on our show. He goes out and, like, you know, and looks
for
these
ghosts.
Things. Yeah, I'm not doing that. But not only did you come in here,
yeah,
you brought gifts.
I
you brought
bearing gifts.
Cupcakes.
It's the giving season. Yeah.
It looks like there's like a shot of like whiskey in this one.
That's mine.
It could be a little something extra. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. This is nice.
I call first.
Oh, yeah, you can have that, Bernie. I have to tell you this. So I had a death. You guys, I had a death in my family during the week.
Sorry to hear that.
My great aunt, my Aunt Joanne, she was the greatest woman. You know, she reminded me of only like a lot different. You know Aunt Bethany from Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, of course.
A lot like Aunt Bethany, only she was a lot more worth it than Aunt Bethany was, you know, but just a really sweet lady. But I went down to her wake yesterday, and Bernie, I don't know if you've seen this, but there is a house just before you get to Lake George on the right-hand side that has a...
Oh, the Giants
stuff. The Giants field.
Jeff.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to talk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not supposed to talk New York. Well, I'm just telling you, I thought of you, and I almost stopped to take a selfie with it, but then, you know, it was very... There was an uphill climb.
That's a tough spot, though.
It was a little dark, and I thought, you know...
And
maybe,
you're afraid of the dark.
I am. Okay. You know, you never know what's in it.
It's the unknown.
You know, I don't like... Yeah, I'm a little, you know... So, like, I turn the lights off downstairs, I'm like... I'm like, yeah. You know, a 3-2-40 up the stairs.
But you know what we really haven't talked about?
What?
And we're not talking about the Yankees and the trade. Right.
Well, we do need to add something. There's about this Yankee trade.
How about it?
Okay, so
really, I don't
something
even
just
get a
popped
chance
up.
To make my point.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's
well,
unreal.
I thought you were going to change the subject.
Poor Bernie. Well, I was quickly.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you excited for Star Wars?
Yes.
I'm tepid.
What?
Tepid. I'm tepid on Star Wars.
Why is
what?
That?
I'll tell you why I'm tepid on Star Wars.
Oh.
Okay. Number one.
Seriously. Read about the Yankees.
No, I'm tepid.
You're
unbelievable. You don't know what the word tepid means? Tepid
lukewarm.
Is I'm lukewarm.
Yeah.
Means I could boil. I'm just lukewarm.
Okay.
I'm not quite there. Okay? Because my concern is, listen, the last one, there wasn't enough Chewbacca for me.
Okay.
I want more Chewbacca.
You love
Chewbacca. I love Chewbacca. And I want more R2-D2. Okay? You don't have R2-D2 and Chewie in it, then I'm like, I'm tepid on it. I want Chewie and R2 to play a focal point. I like the little ball guy there. What's that?
Yeah, BB-8.
BB-8. Yeah. I like him cute.
No,
I
he's
like
no
him.
R2, though.
No, but now we've killed off Han Solo, and I understand, I guess, and, you know, we're not there now.
Hey,
so.
Spoiler alert.
What?
It's only been 2 years, man.
Well, if you haven't seen it
come
yet, listen,
on,
wait, come on. This is 2007. You can
how
see
how long do you have to say?
For the record, you can see these movies before they even come out nowadays.
That's
there's
true.
Websites you can go to, so I'm sure people know that. If I spoiled it for you, I'm sorry, but
go
watch it.
If you ever interested, I have a Hollywood connection. If you ever want to see something beforehand,
really?
I can get you a little.
Is that legal?
Yeah, they get them legally, and they share the screen.
You want to you want to throw some of that our way?
You know,
we can stop doing sports. We can talk. We can give thumbs up or thumbs down on movies.
Do you do any Star Wars impressions? That would be fun.
I do Chewie.
Do you? Let's hear it. That's pretty good. Here's my Chewbacca. Yeah.
Who's your daddy, baby?
Oh, that's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one, too. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah,
yeah, that's about. How about you? I can do R2-D2.
Oh, that's a good one.
I can,
there you go. Say R2 beep, live and
speak. How about the trade, man? Talk to me.
Well, you asked me about Star Wars.
Yeah,
you see,
I'm regretting every second
every
of it.
And I'm starting to get
this is what happens when I come in studio. We talk Christmas Vacation.
Right.
Why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
Exactly. I don't know,
Margo.
who's your character for Star Wars? Who's your go-to?
Carpet. Who's my go-to?
Yeah.
Like, in terms of impersonation?
Well, no. Like, I mean, you're excited about Star Wars.
You have. Can you do one of those?
Look at this.
Wow.
That's a pretty good yoke.
I do not have.
That's the only two I got. So we've run this segment dry.
But who's your guy?
I was always a big Jabba the Hutt fan.
You like Jabba?
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Jabba did you like? He's a bad guy, mean guy.
Does that carry through to different movies? Do you like other villains, or is it just a Jabba thing?
I just like Jabba because nobody liked him.
All right. Well, that's nice of you.
I'm a big C-3PO guy because everybody thinks he's annoying.
Yeah, but he's. But if it wasn't for those two droids.
Whole thing's over.
There's no such thing as Star Wars.
There is no new hope.
R2-D2 is more of a hero than Luke Skywalker.
That's correct.
More of a hero than Han Solo.
That's correct.
If it's not for R2-D2, he saves their butts in everything. And what does he get? He gets
nothing.
Harrison
Ford,
respect.
It's all the
He's
love.
The one that puts his life on the line in every move. Look
R2.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
They stick R2-D2 in these terrible situations.
Dave, what have I done?
Speaking of Raiders, though, Harrison Ford also does nothing in that movie. You know that movie could exist entirely without Indiana Jones? The whole thing could take place. Nothing would change if his character wasn't there?
Indiana Jones, I have a lot in common because he doesn't like snakes either.
Oh,
can
see?
We please tell
For
me about
it's
the
rats.
Trade? Please.
All right, here we go.
I'm sorry.
Interesting news
Giancarlo
just came
Stanton,
out.
Right?
Yeah, that
here
said there are that they're all low A-tier prospects that the Marlins are looking at with this deal.
There's some money involved.
There is definitely money involved. And I'm with our last guest on this trade because, you know, you don't want to see the Yankees go down that road they went down
a
few years ago with A-Rod and CeCe and Teixeira and those things. But I think the way they're going to package this might be okay. So I'm waiting to see how this works out for the Yankees. But interesting news, it really is. And what will the Red Sox do now? That's the question. I mean, I said it earlier in the show, between Judge, Stanton, and Didi, they had 169 home runs together.
Woo.
The Red Sox team had 168 home runs. So does now, all of a sudden, is Jose Abreu a must-get for the Boston Red Sox? And this is what makes the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry so great,
by Martinez.
The way.
They need a bat, right? For sure.
JD Martinez is a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Got to have a bat, right?
Absolutely.
A big bat.
Everyone, because if you don't have a bat, you're going to strike out.
Wow, that that's would be
point.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Got to have a big point. Bat.
Yes, you know, in Saudi Arabia, there's a new citizen, and it's a robot.
Yeah, I talked about this last week.
Right, I know. But can robots play baseball?
Sure.
So that might be the answer for the Red Sox.
Look at Aaron Judge.
Cyborg.
I'm waiting for the panel to fly open one time. There'd be a bunch of wires and springs coming out of him.
I went to Yankee Stadium last year. I went to two games. And the one game I went to, he hit a home run. He hit the fastest one that went 124 miles an hour. That game, and that ball was only like 3 feet off the ground.
It almost got killed.
No, I went the other way, thank God, because we all know that, you know, the reflexes aren't quite there. I got a baseball question for you. You know, so Ohtani, the biggest news that I was going to talk about the show coming on, ends up going to Anaheim. You know, I understand the mentality, I guess, you know, you want to be on the West Coast, and he's, you know, and I get all that, but man, who's giving him advice that he doesn't even, he's supposed to be the Japanese Babe Ruth. Yankee Stadium's fit perfectly for his play. They need a pitcher. I mean, it sounded like a match made in heaven, especially
when you rather have?
I don't know yet. I think you know. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not all in on this Stanton thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he strikes out a lot, and Judge strikes out a lot. I mean,
it's not a double play.
There's a lot of upside with having him on the team. But, I mean, you know, we'll see how it plays out. If they're able to get him, not be strapped with the luxury tax with this deal, you know, we'll see how the years pan out here. I mean, I think he's still got 10 years left on his deal, which I don't like that at all. But if the numbers aren't that bad and they don't have to give up a whole lot to get him, I mean, then of course you want to have him, but you know, I'm tepid on the deal. How's that? I'm tepid again. Tepid.
I mean, you were boiling hot this morning with excitement about it.
Well, I was more excited at the fact that you were so unexcited about it. I like when you're upset immediately.
That's fair.
So you get off on Bernie's misery.
I do. Well, you know, the thing about Bernie is I'm driving into the show this morning at 9 o'clock and I get this text that says, you got a Yankee guy? We probably got to get a Yankee guy. And I was like, and I just texted him and said that I have a little inside information, but.
Because he's big time.
I'm not big time.
You know, I mean, he's sitting here.
Yeah,
big time.
I don't need a Yankee guy. I got inside scoop. I'm the man.
You asked me if I wasn't trying to be like that. I'm not the one with the sandwich named after him. Okay. I'm not the one with the suit.
We're not going down this road. Stop it.
Okay. I'm just saying. But anyway, who's giving Ohtani advice?
It is interesting. Yeah.
I will say this about Major League Baseball.
Maybe he is like Babe Ruth. Maybe he has like, you know, a woman problem. Says, you know, the California girls, there's two for every guy.
Well,
so maybe that's what
I don't know.
Is that what the Beach Boys said or something? Is that in the Beach Boy line?
Been.
But the thing about Ohtani is, for me, it's you know, you have this opportunity. This is the difference between, I guess, I mean, now I lost my train of thought. See what you do,
well,
David.
The thing that's interesting about me, him choosing the Angels, is like, did he go just for Mike Trout, right? Does he watch, is he a big fan
of
baseball?
Why do you go there? Like, look at Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano decides to go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got that money.
And he gets his money, but he goes to Seattle and he could have been the next captain. He could have been the next god.
He's still playing?
I will say this. I was at last year, the year before, he ended the season with over 300 average. He had like 30 something home runs. He had well over 100 RBIs. He wasn't even mentioned for the MVP. He would have been the MVP if he plays in New York. Like, you just wonder, even Boston, like, why you wouldn't choose, if you're a guy like Ohtani, that's coming in for a small, because the money wasn't big. He couldn't sign for a big contract. You want to come into an organization that you can build yourself in. You saw what Matt Matsui did in New York. if Ohtani is Matsui in Anaheim,
yeah,
you yawn. But if Ohtani is Matsui in New York, you love him. Matsui had a great career for the Yankees, but only Yankee fans can appreciate Matsui. He wasn't some unbelievable player, but because he played
in New
York.
What about Daisuke?
Daisuke is another one. But okay, put Daisuke in Anaheim. Would Daisuke have had the reputation and the under people love Daisuke? He was a rock star because he played in Boston. He was an average pitcher, but played in Boston. Matsui was a good player, but he turned into an elite player when he went to New York. If he played in any other market, and that's why you wonder who gives this kid this decision?
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want the big market.
Well, that seems like it's part of it. Right? There seems to be a cultural thing here where, I mean, he made two things very clear. He did not want to play on the East Coast, and I think it's just because it's so different than where he's from. Dave.
Barry from Winooski.
Barry from Winooski. Good morning, hey, buddy.
Hey, good morning, fellas. First time, long time listener. Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to, I had a quick question. I didn't catch it at the beginning today, but I was wondering with this Giancarlo Stanton thing. Jeff, what do you think? You mean 10 years? Do you think he's going to end up being 6 years into this? We're just going to be caught with a big oaf that's on the bench that's hurt with no homers?
Yeah, I mean,
or
I don't.
Do you think we should go after him?
No, I don't mean to interrupt you. Keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I just thought, like, right now, like, our biggest need wasn't really hitting, and I thought maybe we would try to go towards a $20 million arm if there was one out there. You know?
That's a great question. The difference between this and going after the $20 million arm is there really isn't – this isn't a free agent move. This is a trade. And I think – and, again, we have to see what comes out here. I agree with you. A 10-year deal, you don't like those 10-year deals. But if the numbers are right – there's a great article by, I was mentioning it twice today. Go to the New York Post, read George King's article this morning. He kind of breaks it down because the Yankees are going to, Starlin Castro is in this deal, and I think it might even be Chase Headley, and that's a possibility as well, but they're going to be sending money over to Miami. If Miami eats some of this contract, then the numbers will still keep the Yankees where they need to be. I agree with you. Going into this, I don't think that even the Yankees were thinking about Giancarlo Stanton. I think that was the perfect storm for them, and it's there. And the question you got to have is if you get him at a discount in terms of money and prospects, do you make the trade? Because he is a difference maker, not only for that, but he's a difference maker for everything with the Yankees. He's going to change it. People are going to want to watch him on television.
Oh, no doubt.
It's ticket sales. But there's a lot of things, and I will be honest with you, the Yankees have holes in that starting rotation. There's question marks there. They've got some good young arms coming in. So there still is questions. They kind of remind me, and I was telling Bernie, of the late 80s Yankees when they had Dave Winfield and Ricky Henderson and Jack Clark and those lineups that were really, really good, but their pitching wasn't great. But I agree with you, man. It's definitely a flip of the coin. But if he's sitting there and the options are good there for him and the deal is good for the Yankees, I don't know how you don't do it.
That's a... Yeah, great. Hey, you sold me on it.
All right, there you go.
Just like that.
Well, there you go.
A great tweet. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Fingers, have a great show. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
I love it. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Great tweet from Didi Gregorius to Aaron Boone. Hey, Skip, am I still batting fourth? Question mark.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's tweet of the year material there. That is fantastic.
All right, we could do this all day, but hey, the reason you're here.
No, I can't.
Oh,
do
you
this.
Of course. I know you're just mad.
that's a great tweet.
There is nothing better than getting ornery.
The scary thought I said off the air earlier is like last year.
Most things that you say off the air is scary.
Well, no,
agreed.
Those are the gross things.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
But last year we had the National League home run leader that came over and he did nothing.
Come on. You can't compare him to Chris Carter.
Well, it happened, right?
It happened.
What happens when the National Leaguers come to the American League a lot of times? Remember Fielder? He couldn't hit.
And Albert Pujols is doing all right in Anaheim.
Yeah, well, you know. He's
Cecil
Pujols.
Fielder?
And didn't Cecil Fielder win a World Series with the Yankees?
Cecil Fielder was Detroit.
He was Detroit. So what field are you talking about?
He's American League.
Prince.
Come on, let's catch up with the generations, fellas.
Sorry.
When
Dave Hunter decides he's going to talk about what he talks off the air on the show, I get discombobulated.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Right,
Facebook Live next week.
Let's do it.
No.
Listen, we are taking a break. When we come back, get your fantasy football questions ready.
Why? I'm out.
655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672. Call us or send it to the text line, 802-655-6672. Jake is in studio. He's going to answer your questions. And by the way, I got a bye this week. No big deal.
Woo!
We'll be right back. I have to say, this has been some show today.
Just ask us, right?
Some
just
show.
Ask us, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been a good show. I just say it's been some show.
It's been a great show.
I got the nice Christmas tree in front of me, the little Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
I like that thing.
Oh, who doesn't like it?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody out there. All right, it's time. It's playoff time in fantasy football.
Here we are.
And here we go. Jake Ken is in studio. What? Oh, that's right, the Jake Ken music. Yes. You have your own music.
Fantasy music.
Yeah. So he is in studio now, guys. Give us a call right now, 802-655-6672 if you have any questions. It is playoff time here now. So if you're in your play, if you're getting ready for the playoffs and you're not quite sure, and there's some matchups this week, but it's good for me because my team's on a bye. Have I mentioned that yet?
First week playoff bye.
Okay, I just want to make sure you knew that my team's on a bye. And did I mention that I started 1-5 burn?
Four times.
Right, okay. I did. All right. Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure you
remember. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Because I'm out. And I need you to reflect
rough
for me, Jake.
Day.
It's tough, man.
I traded for Tom Brady last week. What happened? And then Tampa Bay, we're going with Jack Les Rogers. What happened?
It sounds like it was much really over-coaching, over-general managing out of you. That's what it sounds like.
Excuse me. We're here to talk to our fantasy expert.
Before
you answer questions, can I get out what has
Let's
to happen
do it.
Here?
Let's
okay,
do it.
You can also text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 655-6672. Okay, now you can help Bernie out, besides him over-managing.
No, we were just talking, and when we were at the break there, we were talking about the Tampa Bay situation last week, because we talked a lot about that situation, and it was exactly what we thought it would be. There was an enormous amount of volume. There were carries. There were receptions. There was production. It was exactly what we wanted. There was no indication that Barber was the guy. And last week, Barber was the guy. So we got burned. That's all there is to it. There's nothing you can do in those situations where everything stacks up exactly the way you drew it up, and it's somebody else. Thanks a lot, Tampa.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And how about Tom Brady? Really?
How about that? Just, don't draft quarterbacks early, people. This is what happens.
Like Matt Ryan this week?
Matt Ryan last week. I started Matt Ryan, and I sat Alex Smith. So congratulations to my team, who gave up, 33 points by switching Matt Ryan for Alex Smith.
And how did the end of year game go? Just let everybody know. Yeah, we all suffer. So why don't you share with us?
Here's the thing.
Because you're the expert.
You are the expert.
I'm in like five leagues, so we're okay. But in my league that I...
You sound like Rich with his baseball league.
Exactly. In my local league that I care the most about. And I've been in that league for, 5 or 6, 7 years now, maybe. And nobody likes to hear about other people's fantasy teams, right? Except for me. You can always call me and talk about your fantasy team because I'll talk about it. I love it. But to spare you a very long story, we get to Sunday night. I'm down by 4 points. He has Jimmy Graham. I have Zach Ertz and Doug Baldwin. We get partway through the game. The Doug Baldwin touchdown gets called back on the 1-yard line. Zach Ertz goes out on the next play for the rest of the game with a concussion. I lose by 1.4 points. And I am out of the playoffs in that league.
Adios.
Gone. Adios. But on to this week. Here we are.
Well, I've got some texts coming in now.
Let's go.
This is the thing. We've got all these cupcakes in here, which I'm...
I know. Sorry. They're in your way.
You know that I've been like trying to be good for like 2 years.
Can I ask one more question?
They're mini cupcakes.
Can I ask one more question before we do this?
M-A-N-Y.
Like, this is like... So I run a league.
Yes.
And I, for the payout to the most points.
Yeah.
But because it's a 14-team league and we have 8... teams make it.
Mm-hmm.
I give a home field advantage for just the quarterfinals. The number one seed gets 4 points. The 2 seed gets 3.
You're a giver, Burn.
Or 5. I'm sorry. It's 5, 4, 3, and 2.
I like that
a
lot.
Do you think
we've
that's
talked a lot about adding it in a lot of my? I've had that conversation in most of my leagues. Actually, I like the first week bye week also. But if you're not going to do the first week bye week, I do like the idea of a monetary reward for most points scored, best record. And I especially like giving a few points for the teams who have overperformed because it's such a fluke. Like
we
have a 2 week championship.
Can we get to the questions of our listeners?
Here we
please.
Go. Let's do
Does
it.
Does anybody care about what you want
no
to do
one
with
cares.
How you're going to run your
they
league?
Don't.
But
they really
if,
don't.
If you don't have the concrete league,
right.
You can't have these questions of personnel.
Okay.
Before we kick off next season, we'll go through league settings.
Yeah.
And
I like that. That would be fun. Seriously.
Right. Let's
I like
do it.
That.
I'll do it.
Seals Jones, yes. Julius Thomas, Dwayne Allen, or Tyler Kroft at tight end this weekend?
So Tyler Kroft has the best matchup. So he's going to be your safest play. Everybody was into Seals Jones last week. Everyone in the daily fantasy world was into him. Massive ownership did absolutely nothing. I think that you can trust him in that 49ers game. I think that game could get out of control in terms of the scoring. Really like Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the receivers for the 49ers.
Jimmy G
showed up last week. Not a great game, but looked good enough to trust him this week. So Kroft is your safe play. If you want to try and play for some upside Seals Jones, you could do it, but I'm probably playing Kroft.
You know the D-Train. Remember Danny Trevor did the show once in a while?
Yeah, yeah. I play soccer with him.
Yeah, Danny's great. So Danny went to college with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He used to sit next to him in class. And
Danny's quite the keeper, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
He used to try to cheat off him.
That's hilarious.
Just saying, Jimmy G. No
That's
big deal.
That's really funny.
All right, Olsen or S. Anderson?
I don't know who S. Anderson
Me
is.
Me either. I know. So, I went to high school with a guy named Seth Anderson. If, Olsen, if that's a choice, I'd go with Olsen.
Olsen must be a tight end, right?
Olsen's probably in a bad matchup, but oh, maybe no. I don't know who it is. I don't know.
He didn't leave his unnamed.
Let's go with Greg Olsen.
Texas back. Who you think? But he thinks Greg Olsen. But if you're not, but give us the SNL. We're not sure who S. Anderson is.
It's it escapes me. If he's a tight end, I don't know who it is.
All right, JT from Burlington.
No.
Yeah, good try. That's what are we playing? It's like we're playing a video
taboo
a game.
Yeah.
It sounds like
right.
I don't know.
Sounds like right. Stanton.
Do we, JT from Burlington.
Smells like stink.
Oh, stop it. JT from Burlington, do we think Chris Hogan is back for Monday Night Football? If not, start Robbie Anderson or Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I'm probably trusting Robbie Anderson one more week. He's been great. I mean, he gets it done every week.
Stephen Anderson is the name.
Stephen Anderson. Yeah. Olsen's the answer.
Olsen is the answer. So go with Olsen.
You know, this might be the first time in how many weeks we've been doing this? I don't know.
2 years?
A lot. Certainly a couple years, but this season, we're however many weeks in, plus we start before. I don't know who that is, honestly.
Really? Who's he play for?
It escapes me.
Unnamed. Who does he play for?
it absolutely is.
Because I want to pick him up because maybe he's a good player.
I had one time had this conversation with a friend
on my bye week, right,
that they could name any offensive player from any team and I could tell them who it was.
I will tell you because this is interesting that you've been stumped here.
I don't know who S. Anderson is.
Speaking stumped, do you remember that show Stump the Schwab?
Yes.
He just got stumped.
I did.
You just got stumped.
I did. I really did. So let's continue.
He's for the Texans, not your prototypical tight end.
Wait, is he the Seals Jones backup? Hold on. Did I just get stumped by the fourth string Texans tight end?
First of all.
Okay, well, congratulations,
first
Texter.
First of all, the fact that Bernie just says Texans and not your prototypical tight end, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For the record, that's the flush for the show right there. The fact that you just that. All right, so listen, because we've been talking about everything else that we shouldn't be talking about in this segment, who do you got to have this week for the playoffs? Who's the guy? Who's the player?
Yeah, so I mentioned a couple of the guys a second ago.
Rogers.
I think that, yes, that's the guy. I think, no, don't start him this week. Apparently, Stephen Anderson, someone thinks he's in play. So I think, you know, read up on that, whoever texted that. Seriously, Seals Jones is supposed to be the guy, unless I've missed something in the last day or two that I didn't see. So, guys, we need. So 49ers game, Texans game, I do think from that game, Stephen Anderson may be one of the guys, but from that game, there are some guys in play. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo really very much is in play. I think a lot of the 49ers receivers are in play from that team, just because I think that game could get, I think the scoring could get out of hand. If you're looking for a running back, it sounds like Adrian Peterson's out again this week. Kerwin Williams, we've seen some good things from in the past. Kerwin Williams is a guy who's probably available most everywhere, and you could plug him in at running back if you needed to.
Any word on Tyrod Taylor?
It didn't sound good.
No.
It did not sound good at all last I read. So I'm probably out all across the board for the Bills.
In my pool this week, which is not fantasy football related, but I have to just say, I'm sorry. I picked Indianapolis to upset Buffalo this week.
Indeed, upset Buffalo. Well, if he's out, I could see that happening.
So the unnamed is saying, when we say, you know, you're confused when you see that he's not the guy. He said, really? He said, number one waiver pick. Oh, well. And he added, oh, well.
You know, once we got through C.J. Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin and Seals Jones, if Anderson's the guy, then, you know.
Yeah, so, but I guess, so if it comes down to it, with all seriousness, so, I mean, if you're down a guy like unproven as this guy is, we don't even know what his name is, you got to go with Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely starting Olsen of those two. And I found some info on Anderson. It looks like he was on the field for 91% of the snaps last week, so he's definitely out there. Looks like he had a good amount of targets, which is why Seals Jones didn't do anything last week. But everything I've read points back to Seals Jones, despite the double-digit targets for Anderson last week and being on the field a ton. So I'd avoid it. Like, why go there? So tough matchup for Olsen, but I don't know that I'm going there for fantasy playoffs.
All right, I guess it's kind of a flip the coin for you, my man. Do what you want, but go with your gut if you want any advice from me. That's what I've done. And I was 1-5 to start the season, and I have a bye this week. Did I say that?
Trent Taylor, 49ers receiver. He's a guy you could look at.
Look at Bernie shaking his head.
Poor Bernie.
All right, real quick. Seal Jones was with the. He knows what's happening. I don't know what's happening here, just for the record. All right, guys, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on the show. No pun intended, because it's Christmas time. We'll be right back.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
No, I really am discombobulated.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I want to thank Jake Kent. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks for bringing the cupcakes.
Cupcakes all
around.
Oh, my
God. I don't know which I'm going to have. Bernie, dude, stay out of the cupcakes, all right? Tom King, thanks so much for joining us. He was a New York, New England Patriot beat writer. A lot of fun talking to Tom. Didn't talk much Patriots with him, but it's always fun talking
that
to him.
That was hilarious, actually.
Yeah, we just kind of went all over the place.
He got hung up on the Yankees. Yeah,
he just got all over the place. TJ Sorrentine, unbelievable interview with a great point guard for UVM. And then the great Tom Brennan. Listen, get yourself, if you don't have a ticket and you can get one, get the Patrick Gym Monday night. It's a big night for UVM basketball.
It's a huge night. I think it's sold out. If there is, the tickets are extremely limited. And
if you are there,
you will find Bernie on the table with the suit on.
There you know.
ESPN 3, probably, right?
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, he's going to be on TV. Don't tell me you're not important, Bernie. Don't tell me you're not important.
I'm not important, Jeff.
Hey, Dave, well done on the Sports Center.
Yeah.
Welcome Archives, the Downtown Sports Bar, the barcade now that's on College Street downtown. Check them out, our new sponsor here on Sports Saturday.
I haven't heard of that.
No, it's a great place. I'm telling you, and they got all kinds of great old video games.
I'm
we're talking like when we were kids, when Bernie and I were kids. That tells you how old it was. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We are Sports Saturday. We're here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com every Saturday from 10 to noon. We're living the dream. We're taking you with us. Have a safe weekend. It's supposed to snow a little bit, so
it
you know,
could be Michael Crabtree week. Finally,
yeah.
If he's not Michael Crabtree, this could be the week.
If he's not boxing people in the
Derek
middle of the
Carr
field.
And Crabtree.
Well, it doesn't matter because I'm on a bye,
and I'm out.
And the Giants are in whites tomorrow. The Giants in Dallas tomorrow. Can you imagine what that game was supposed to mean going into this week when the season started?
Supposed to.
It means a lot to Dallas. Means very
Big
little
sports.
To the Giants. But you know what? The Giants will probably win by 20.
Why not?
And they'll screw up their draft pick.
They finally figured it out. Got their quarterback in.
It's a good thing we have 2 seconds left. Have a good weekend, everybody.